Hey, welcome to Garden Fork Radio. Thank you for downloading the show. Thank you for taking a minute for me and Rick to kind of talk about what we think are interesting things here. I'm already mangling the words. But anyway, if you're familiar with Garden Fork, welcome. If not, it's whatever pops into our head, very DIY related. And welcome, Rick.
Ah, good morning, my friend. How are you this morning?
I have no complaints.
Oh, good. Pops into our head is the operative word there. We don't make a plan before we start off. Unlike you and Will, which seemed to, your last podcast with him was brilliant. Talking about plumbing issues and whatnot. You guys just seem to click, click, click from one topic to the next, do a really good job.
That's just how his brain works. He's amazing. He's much like all my Garden Fork friends. He just found me on YouTube and then just kind of bugged me enough to where I called him on the phone.
Yeah. And, you know, Erin has been doing, if you're not following Erin at The Impatient Gardener, particularly her videos, cleaning up the garden, some really great ideas. This is an exciting time. I have started my hydroponic lettuce project, because I don't think you can really trust lettuce in the stores anymore. And it is going great guns in my my grow tent. I'll take some pictures and put them on the Garden Fork site. Very easy to do, very cheap. And they're just looking terrific. And I can take that tray, that plastic storage box out of the tents anytime I want, put it outside this time of year, and they'll do really well. And then I've got all my tomatoes started. And then a little bit later I'll do okra and get okra in the back. If you got okras and tomatoes, you got everything.
Yeah. Actually, okra, tomato, and the vaccine.
And vaccine. Today, last night I could barely sleep. It was like when I was a kid. And it was the day before Christmas, yeah. The 24th, and you go to bed at night, and you can't sleep, and you're all excited and everything. Well, today, we wake up, and about 2 hours, she who must be obeyed and I will go get our second vaccine. And then I also get my boot taken off. I had had my second bunion done. I did my left one earlier in the winter season. I was trying to get it all over before it got warm. And now I've done the second one, and today is the last day of the boot, and I will be free and clear to navigate. Look out, world.
That's great. I got the Moderna vaccine in New York City, and I was so excited, and it was so well run. It was over in like 7 minutes, and I was like, I almost forgot to take a picture. I did. And the nurse who did the injection was really, I was like, yeah, let's take a picture. Yeah, that'd be great. And I felt a little tired, and I felt like I had had too many glasses of wine the night before. And then my second vaccine, it would be April 2nd. I'm supposed to feel a little flu-like, but I talked about this in the last show, but you may not think that you need it, but we all need to help each other. There are a lot of people that can't have the I have a friend going through a cancer treatment, and they don't want him to get the vaccine because they don't know how it's going to work with this experimental cancer treatment. So we have to help them. I got to help my buddy. So
yeah. Oh yeah.
I'm excited. It's been rough for everybody. And this is the light at the end of the tunnel. So,
yeah. Yay. I'm a believer in science. I am a son of the Enlightenment. And it doesn't take a lot to understand vaccines. And even the new, we got the Pfizer vaccine. But to understand how the mRNA works and why there are, almost no risk with it, I think, people over worry about things. It's a human condition. I think we over worry about things that almost never happen. And then we worry a lot or don't worry enough about things that are more common. And so, I believe in science. She who must be obeyed has been down at the convention center as a volunteer giving jab to people because she is a retired RN. So
yeah,
You know, just trying to do our part. And if everybody gets vaccinated, we can all get out of this and go back to living an interesting life. Although I have to admit, this whole experience hasn't changed my life very much. I'm not a very social person. I don't go out a lot. We don't. We do have a dining club, usually 4 to 6 military families retired that we chased each other all over the world, and we kind of kept contact, and we're all pretty close together here. And we go out, we used to go out once a month, and we'd go dine somewhere, and that stopped. But I'm looking forward to starting that, but that's as much sociability as I need.
I actually think that I've kind of brought you out a little bit more, that you're on a podcast now, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
There are people that actually like you on Facebook because they're like, they like the stuff you're doing, like the lettuce hydroponic. I watched a video about a gentleman had aquaculture. He had a koi pond, and then he had the lettuce and the little volcanic rock stuff.
Right.
And I knew exactly what was going on thanks to you and your sharing of that cool stuff. So.
Oh, well, thank you. This is actually just a straight hydroponics project. It's not an aquaponic project with fish. I just don't have the room here to, if I put the fish out in a place, essentially what happens is all the seabirds come and fish out your fish. we have a lot of blue heron, a lot of green heron, night heron here, and they will come to your pond and grab all your fish. In fact, there was a bank in downtown Norfolk that had a big pond, and they kept putting these really expensive koa in the pond, and they disappear. And they said, someone's stealing our fish. Well, they finally set up some cameras, and they caught the culprit. It was a great blue heron, and he came every day. And grab their fish.
Then they probably thought, oh, look at the pretty heron. You know, they were so glad the heron's in our pond.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Oops. So, oops. So, you know, but the hydroponics, I'm getting back. I'm enthused about gardening. I because of my feet problems, I was having trouble getting around and just kind of lost interest last year. And then of course, right at planting season, I had that gallbladder surgery. And so I just missed all of last year, all of last growing season.
But
and
you are so a wonder of science because you've had all these surgeries that could have been super risky back in the day. And thanks to science, we are like, oh yeah, we're going to go take that out.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a little embarrassing to admit, you know, I got more titanium in my body than they have in the vault somewhere, but, you know, two knees and, we just fixed my feet and they, that's a Home Depot or a Yellow Store project, I guess, a couple of plates and some screws in both toes, big toes, but easy, to recover from, not as painful as I thought it was going to be. And, I also have a pen in one hand that holds one hand together. So, you know, just think about how decades ago, literally decades ago, people would just have to suffer and suffer and suffer through this until they broke down. And now science can keep you going.
What do you think about $5 a month to get behind-the-scenes photos, pictures of what Eric's been up to, some little walk and talks about what's going on in Eric's world, and more pictures of the Labradors, plus just stuff I find cool and interesting that I'm not going to post on Instagram or Facebook because it's just too public sometimes, but I'm happy to share it with people that are in the world of Garden Fork. That's what my Patreon thing is all about. It's people like yourselves are kind of like modern day Medicis. I'm going to screw that up. But basically supporting someone like myself, a content creator, directly rather than having to listen to ads for Audacity or something like that. So if you're interested, there's a link below to sign up. Or actually, there's a link below just to find out more information. You don't have to do any signing up. But it's patreon.com/GardenFork. patreon.com/GardenFork. Thank you. So going on the science roll here. You wanted to talk about the science of rice cookers.
Ah, okay. This is a rabbit hole, and I'll lead you down it gently and quietly. First, I started off, I caught a video on cooking the perfect scrambled eggs by
Kenji Lopez Alt.
Say,
and he
Kenji.
Has a Kenji Lopez Alt, who is a noted cookbook author, recipe expert, scientist. His wife is a mathematician, and he has written for the New York Times, for America's Test Kitchen, Cooks Illustrated. The other one, I can't remember what it's called, Something Eats. And he's written a book. He wrote a tome. He wrote the Encyclopedia of Cooking, the Food Lab book.
Food Lab, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I caught that. And the one thing he had good videos always. But what I really caught, and it caught my attention, was he preheated his pan, his omelet pan or his scrambled egg pan, using water. He put water in the bottom of his frying pan, and water makes sense when you think about it, only boils at 212 degrees. It will not go above 212 degrees at sea level. Instead, it boils more furiously. And so then he pours the water out, drops in a pat of butter, and it foams immediately without browning. And the pan is perfectly heated to do your eggs.
And so the pan isn't overheated and browning the butter.
Exactly. You know, I have heated a pan so hot that my butter just kind of flambéed when I... So that was a first cool tip. And then I saw a video about how rice cookers work. And I mean, this is a $10 device you can get in, you know, any store. And you would think that it was just the most mundane thing possible. And I love the extraordinary... of mundane things. And that little springy thing in the bottom of a rice cooker that's under the pan has a metal cap on it. And when you lift the lever, it sticks a magnet to the bottom of that cap. And then that completes the circuit and heats the water. Well, this works on the same principle of water cannot boil at any greater temperature than 212 degrees. And then it makes use of the fact that once the water has boiled away, the rice that's left can cook at a higher temperature. And so magnets lose their magnetism at certain temperatures. And you can engineer that. And they've engineered those magnets so that once the temperature goes up to about 220 degrees or so, the magnet won't stick to that little metal thing and the springy doodad in the middle. This is a very technical discussion. And it falls away and it takes the heat off and it goes into the warm cycle. And that is just an amazing use of everyday physics, or actually high-end physics, that you can find in your grocery store or in your appliance store for $10. And it's one of the most amazing things possible. And yeah, I just, I think that's so cool.
Yeah, I actually have a fancier Instant Pot now. And I thought it used like fuzzy logic to cook the rice. Mm-hmm. So I trashed my $10 rice cooker, actually boiling down beeswax. And then I used the Instant Pot, and I was pressing the buttons, and I read in the book, and they're like, oh, well, just type in a number for how long you want it to cook. I'm like, no, this is supposed to be, I thought it was supposed to be automatic, where it did the sensing of moisture versus the how fast the temperature starts to rise because the water's being boiled out of the rice. And maybe I have not there might be an Instant Pot that does that. An Instant Pot person is yelling back at the podcast right now. By the way, a Wi-Fi expert was yelling back at the podcast last week from Canada, and he's going to be on the show next week.
I want to hear that. I really want to learn more about mesh networks particularly.
Okay. So anyway, I want to go back to the $10 rice cooker because I love the crunchy rice around the bottom and the edge.
Right. And that's because the temperature goes up some and it, dries that rice out to crunchy before the magnet lets loose and drops away.
Yeah, it's really kind of phenomenal. So, 2 points here. You started making brown rice because you stopped eating pasta.
Sure. And more than that, we eat, and I think it's Lungford. They're a rice company out of California, more expensive, but for a lot of different reasons, rice that's grown in the South tends to have a lot of arsenic in it. And so if you're going to eat a lot of rice, probably get the organic rice out of California where they didn't grow cotton. When I was a kid, growing up in cotton country on the plains, they would use arsenic to defoliate the cotton before the pickers came through and picked it. And all through the South, a lot of places have been converted into dryland rice instead of cotton, but that arsenic is still in the soil. And so it's if you eat a lot of rice, you best think about maybe thinking about some organic rice out of the off the West Coast where they didn't use the arsenic. But how did we get there?
Well, because you're doing brown rice, and then
Oh
I was
yeah.
going to ask you about your weight loss.
Oh, well, I stopped drinking almost 2 years ago, 2 years
Yay.
September. Yay. Well, I kind of don't like it, but anyway. But I've been eating rice, brown rice, instead of when we make a tomato sauce or we'll do a jambalaya or something, instead of pasta, we'll have brown rice. And I am down about 55 pounds.
That's amazing.
So, yeah, for me, for an old guy.
Well, just I mean just taking weight off your body is great. So
Yeah, it's
you
good for
cut
your
out the
feet and your
pasta.
knees, too. Yeah,
Yeah.
we don't eat pasta anymore. And when you think about it, yeah, pasta is not that great of a dish, at least in my opinion. It's more of a medium to carry the sauce to your mouth.
It's a sauce delivery device, yeah.
That's it. That's it. Yeah.
I was thinking about the crunchy bottom of the rice because Samin Nosrat, she just, I think they temporarily suspended their podcast. They said they were done, but then hinted that they might do more episodes. It's called Home Cooking, and she does it with a gentleman named Rishi. I'm messing up his last name. I will go back and find that. But in Iran, she's Persian. And in what was Persia and is now Iran, rice is king. And there's a particular rice dish that she talks about many times in the podcast. And every family has their own version of it. But the ultimate part of the rice dish is the crunchy bottom and edges. And amongst a lot of families, I think among the siblings, there's a race or a battle to who gets to eat the crunchy part.
Yeah. I think they went over that in the they did a little series, TV series on that. Her book is called Salt, Fat, Acid, Heat.
Yes.
And she is really a great cook and a great teacher. And I remember that, everybody was fighting over the crunchy rice in the bottom of the pan.
It's on Netflix too. It's called Salt, Fat, Acid, Heat. I have the book. I've watched the Netflix series. I now want to go to Italy and go to the cooking school that she went to. In northern Italy, and I emailed them and I did not hear back. So I don't know if they're just booked up or sometimes my email ends up in people's spam folder. What is that? What's that all about?
Well, sometimes just a little glitch of things. Do you know about Rhodes Scholar, Road Scholar?
No.
It's a travel company. And it's more than just travel anymore. They do experiences. And we've eyed this one tour they have. And you go to, I think it's Florence for 2 weeks. You bed and breakfast with a family. You get half days off, and you're in with a group of about 8 or 10 people. And half cook one day, half the evening meal, half cook the next day. And you go out and you gather all the fresh, ingredients for the meal at the markets and come back and they teach you how they prepare them and that type of thing. And then you serve to the entire group. But then you have half days off every other day to in between classes and stuff to go and see sights and travel around. And the train system in Italy is really fantastic. You can make a run to from Florence to Naples, or from Florence to Venice or Milan, if you're interested in that direction, and be back in, you know, a day. You might miss the evening meal that night, but you can make some pretty nice trips out of it.
Nice. Hey, are you shopping locally? I am shopping locally as much as possible as well. If there's something that you need and you can't find it in your local stores and you're going to go on Amazon, would you consider using the Garden Fork Amazon link? It's in what's called an affiliate link. We get a finder's fee for sending you to Amazon. It helps pay the bills at the podcast world here. It is amazon.com/shop/gardenfork. That's amazon.com/shop/gardenfork. My first trip after the pandemic will be to a Waffle House. At the end of the runway of the St. Louis airport.
Why St. Louis?
Because my sister and mom live there now, and I need to go see them, and I'm going to land. I love Southwest Airlines. I'm going to take Southwest Airlines direct. My sister's going to pick me up. And literally at the far end of the airport where one of the runways ends is a Waffle House. And I'm going to sit at the counter. And I'm going to be so happy.
You know, there is a book. It's a coffee table picture book you can buy of the view from Waffle Houses from all around the country.
Ooh.
I should buy it and send it to you.
You should.
A birthday present or something.
By the way, the Home Cooking Show podcast, the gentleman's name is Rishi Hirway, and he has a podcast and Netflix show called Song Exploder, and it is fantastic. I like music. My friends are in bands. I've never been in a band. I've managed bands.
Really?
Yeah. Well, in college I did. And
Eric, you have unsuspected depth.
Well, they were all, I won't say, don't get me started on trying to manage a band, but anyway, right. Song Exploder is on Netflix and it is really, really great. It just talks with, who's the guy that did Hamilton?
That guy.
Yeah. All about this one song. And
now you've got everyone yelling at the radios.
It's fantastic. So it's called Rishi Hirway Song Exploder on Netflix. And also it's a podcast.
Okay.
I forgot to mention this while Rick and I were recording the podcast, but we're about to talk about e-bikes. And I'm going to talk about the new Rad Power bike I bought, and Rad Power just sent me a coupon link for you if you're interested in buying one of their bikes. They're going to knock some bucks off the price of the bike, and they're going to send me a gift card as a thank you for referring you to Rad Power Bike. So if you consider using that link, I would appreciate that. All right, let's talk bikes. All right, something else that I wanted to talk about is a electric bike update, because we both have electric bikes.
Yes, and I've been charging my battery. I brought it in for the winter because I didn't want it to freeze. I wasn't sure if that would be a problem or not. And I've been charging it, and once I get my boot off my right foot and get into some shoes, I'm going to start riding my bike.
I think I mentioned this in the podcast previous, but I had an epiphany with... I have a Rad Power bike. I love the company. I have a Rad City 4, which is kind of a traditional, what I would call a hybrid bike or a city bike. And I've realized the frame and tire size is too big for me.
Ah, okay.
And I also, my envision for using my e-bike in the city is to go places that either the subway doesn't go or I would usually have to drive my car to. And I hate driving the car in the city, and I'm just like trying to reduce my footprint and trying to promote electric everything. I mean, my house is solar powered. I want my bike to be solar powered. So I've decided to sell the Rad City 4 and I bought a cargo bike from Rad City. It's called the Rad. I forgot what it's called now. Anyway, but it is a step through cargo bike. It's boxier. It's more like a moped, and I love it because I can. I'm going to put a front storage, great metal thing there. I'm going to put my baskets on the back of it, and I'm very. Oh, it's a Rad Runner. I got a Rad Runner, and I got the one that has multiple gears. You can get a single gear one or the multiple gear one. So, and then I'm thinking about getting. I thought about. So I'm going to sell the second e-bike down there. And I thought I might get one for up in the country as well, because whenever I go to visit my friends in the town or go to the store, you have to get in your car, yet it would be easily bikeable. Yet we live in a town with very steep hills and my ankles and knees hurt. So I'm thinking about that as well.
You know, one of the things, I did not get a Rad. I have a Coben Karmic. With two Ks, Coben, K-O-B-I-N, Karmic, K-A-R-M-A-C, I think it is. But one of the things I didn't realize when I bought it is I spent a lot of money outfitting it with a bike rack and saddlebags and a front carrier and setting it up so I could pull a trailer and that kind of thing. And, you know, these Rad bikes, particularly the cargo bikes,
yep,
come designed for that, first of all, but also, and you know, like they have the dual kickstand, so it sits level.
Yep.
And then it has the cargo carriers and everything on it. And I kind of wish that I'd gotten something like that. I think it would have suited my needs a little bit better.
I do. It's called the Rad Runner Plus. The Rad Runner is the cargo bike with a single speed. And Rad Runner Plus has a 7-gear, I think it's called a cassette on the back wheel. And
yes,
it has fat tire bikes rather than skinny tire bikes. And the major road in Brooklyn that I live two blocks off of is 4th Avenue. It's like a boulevard or a parkway. But riding your bike on it is insane. So the city, to their credit, created a bike lane right off the sidewalk. And then there's car parking, and then the two lanes of traffic.
Ah.
But it's 65 blocks long, which is fantastic. But the problem in urban areas is where's all the trash from a road goes? It goes into the curb.
Right.
So you've got a nice, what I call like a city bike, you know, it's got thin tires. There are potholes. There's pieces of a crate or someone dumped a bag. And I love the divided bikeway so I don't get hit by cars, but the ride is pretty rough. So with the cargo bike, I've got the fatter tires, the suspension's tuned a little better. I think it's a little more rugged, and it's a little more easier to ride in a city way, I guess, if that makes any sense. So I'm very excited about that. It just puts a big smile on my face.
Well, I smile all the time when I ride the bike. I am exploring the possibility of putting a trailer on it. I set it up to haul a trailer, but I haven't bought a trailer yet, and actually pull the dogs over to the dog park, which is
great.
5-6 miles. The dogs have a good time, ears flopping in the wind, and you know, I'd get some good exercise. But I think there are a lot of things. We have a lot of, what can I say, bike resentment among some drivers here.
Yeah, in Brooklyn too.
Yeah, which is, this is bicycle heaven. Virginia Beach is an effluvial plain. It's flat. There is, other than overpasses over pieces of water, there is no elevation to this place at all. It is the perfect bike area. And people just get really upset about bicycles for some reason. And I've seen them lots of times they take it out on adults riding bikes, but yeah, I've seen people taking it out on kids riding bikes. And, I'll copy down their number and call the police or something, don't need to be bothering kids because you've got a problem with people riding bicycles.
Yeah. The one thing with the Rad Runner cargo bike is the seat I bought on Amazon, a different seat, a seat with springs in it, because the seat is quite hard. So it's an excellent bike. Mm. It's just the seat is kind of hard. So I got a springy, I got a stem, you know, the seat stem has a coil spring in it. And then the seat itself is what I would call an old man seat. It has, it's a little wider and cushier and has two little springs in it.
Yeah. And the one I bought for mine was recommended by my urologist, I guess. If you get older and your prostate begins to swell, and first one thing, the last thing you need is that horn of the seat banging you there all the time. And there are certain seats that are good for older people riding these bikes. The only thing I missed is you don't realize how much that horn on the seat allows you to ride without hands. That's how you control. And when that's gone, there's no riding without hands. The bike will go off track every time.
Well, that's a good thing then.
Well, I'm signaling my intentions to people, with both hands.
Get out of my way. No brakes.
And the other thing I've done is I light up like a fire truck. When I ride my bike, I bought a good helmet. Yep. And there, I know we talk about Consumer Reports all the time, but they do did a review of helmets, and it turns out the one I bought initially wasn't worth anything. In fact, I cracked it in an accident, which is supposed to happen.
Yes.
But it was such a minor little event that it probably shouldn't have happened that way. But you you get what you pay for with a good helmet. But I light this bike up because people coming toward me when I'm on the bike lane and they want to turn left into the parking lots, lots of times they do not see you if you don't have a good light out there to catch their attention. And then people running up behind you wanting to turn right into the parking lot, same thing. You need a lot of light on the back of your bike to keep from becoming a statistic. We have some bike club puts up ghost bikes every time bicyclist is killed. It's an old bike that's been painted white and they chain it to a tree. And we got way too many of those things around here.
So everyone, just think about that when you see a bicyclist. It's one less car, one less polluting vehicle on your road.
And I don't know anyone that rides bicycles, any adults, that don't also pay road taxes when they pay their, particularly here in Virginia, when they buy gasoline for their car, when they pay taxes on their car. Yeah. So it's not like bicyclists are getting a free ride. The kids do, but then their parents pay the road tax.
All right. I think that was a typical Rick and Eric show all over the place, and I hope it made everyone smile. It made me smile. Did you smile, Rick?
I smiled a lot.
Well, cool. That's probably the best medicine right there.
Yeah, today's my happy day. I mean, I'm almost counting it like I'm getting out of prison or something.
Well, we are in a way.
In a way, yeah.
All right, everyone. So radio@gardenfork.tv. Would love to hear from you. Thank you, Rick, and we'll see you next week.
And thanks for calling, my friend. We'll talk to you later.
Garden Fork Radio is produced in Brooklyn, New York by Garden Fork Media, LLC. Our executive producer is Jimmy Gooch. You can learn more about Jimmy and the custom hollow books he makes at hollowbooks.com. The music for our show is licensed from audioblocks.com and uniquetracks.com.